We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, an awful lot of opportunity to be a much better player than he is, and he's been pretty damn good. I mean, he rolled out of bed a hitting machine for a little while there.
Damon, it cost him the 2010 opportunity to be starting at third base in the World Series. Like, he lost his job to Juan Uribe. Do people not forget that? Like, it was so bad that year, and it went. He had an awesome rookie year at 20-something jacks, I want to say, in 09. 2010, he literally ate himself off the roster. Like, that's what happened. And then, obviously, 2011, it was awesome. He got himself back in shape. And then 2012, he started to fluctuate, and you started to see this the weight become an issue. And then he hits the three jacks. You know, he hits the three jacks in the World Series game. And he just, I don't know, man. I wish he would have taken his body a little more, been able to keep it better in shape, because I do feel like we were robbed of seeing a guy be a switch hitting, hover around 300, 20 home run a year guy. Like, that's what I thought he was going to be in the bigs. And we really never got that from him.
We'll have much more on this throughout the week. I can promise you, as the baseball season tries to get going, I'm sure we'll return to this topic. But right now, who would have ever thought the topic of Daniel Snyder might change that football team's name after all would really be on the table? Who would have ever thought that the state of Mississippi would take the Confederate flag off of the state flag? Our next guest knows a little something about playing football in Washington, and he knows a little something about Mississippi as well. We're very happy to welcome in Fred Smoot as we get into our 5 o'clock hour here on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Long time in the league, Fred Smoot is good enough to join us here. Damon Ratto and Joe Shasky this afternoon on 95.7 The Game. Fred, thank you very much for joining us, man. I almost don't even know where to begin our conversation. That the state of Mississippi changed its state flag, or that Daniel Snyder might be about to change that team's name. I had both as probably never going to happen. And these two things might happen within 2 weeks of each other.
I'm going to have to start with Mississippi. First of all, thanks for y'all. Thanks for having me, fellas. I'm going to have to start with the state I was born in. You know, it was a long time coming. And the one thing I've noticed about it, it's been a continuous push for that ever since I was young, for that flag. And we just never had enough votes. And then everybody look at 2020 and say how bad of a year it is because of COVID-19. Me, I'm a half-cup full type guy. I never had this much time in my life to spend with my family and really enjoy my kids. And right now, it's the year of change. It's the year that's changing the flags that's on places. It's the year that changes how people view people. It's the year that changes the name of the Washington, D.C. team. It's the year of change. And I think everybody has to get on board with it.
Well, do you think, indeed, by the beginning of the next NFL season, Daniel Snyder's franchise will have a different mascot?
Hey, I think it could be as soon as this season. I think it could happen a lot quicker than people think. The one thing I know about Dan is a great businessman. He lets nothing get in the way of him making money. He's great at that. You don't become a billionaire if you're not great at making money. And now that you got the Fred Smiths of the world, and now that you got people that's in business with him, talking to him, sitting down at the table with him, explaining to him. And me, myself, I think it's the ultimate out for Dan. Think about this. The reason Dan don't want to change that team because he grew up here. He cheered for that team for all his life. He doesn't want to be the guy that changed the name. But now that he's being forced to change the name, I think he needs to capitalize on it. Because the one thing he understands, he has a large market team. Everybody will have to go out there and buy new apparel. Now you have a new stadium. You have a new head coach. You have a new quarterback. You have a new number two draft pick. It's a chance to start anew, and it could be very, very beneficial for him financially.
Speaking of the finances, his three biggest minority partners have all been trying to sell their shares in the team. Does he have the money to buy them out, or does he have to find new people? And the reason why I ask that is because that's sort of a lot of the underpinning of, you know, where this is going. It's that, you know, PepsiCo doesn't want to deal with him anymore. Nike doesn't want to deal with him anymore. Is he becoming toxic, you know, simply by being Dan Snyder, the name aside?
I wouldn't go that far to say Dan is becoming toxic. I think because he's fought the name change for so long, and inside, I think those minority owners was fighting for him to change the name, and now I just think they've made it to the end of their rope when it comes to how they want to go about it. But I don't think Dan, per se, himself, is the true problem of what's going on when it comes to are they leaving because they don't like Dan. I don't think it's a don't like Dan. Maybe they don't like his business practices. Maybe they don't like the way he's going about this renaming process. Maybe it's something else, but at the end of the day, I think it's more business than it is personal.
Fred, you had two different stints with the Washington Redskins, and I'm just curious. I've always heard people like Tony Kornheiser, who's from that area, or writes for that area, say that, you know, they got to change the name, they got to change the name. But did the players in that locker room ever have conversations about the organization changing their name?
Well, I remember riding the bus my rookie year, and I think we played the Kansas City Chiefs. And I remember pulling up, and I was wondering why it was a small group of people to the side boycotting. And Champ Bailey said, you know, we see that from time to time because the people don't like the name. And I never knew the definition of it until then. And then I said, okay, this is something that we ain't going to be able to run from too long.
American sensibilities have caught up to an awful lot of people in just the last 6 months. I mean, we're living in a different world than we were just 6 months ago. Fred Smoot joining us to talk about how the Redskins could be changing their team name, and it's more of a reality than it's ever been. When you want to get someone's attention, you got to grab them in the wallet, and that's exactly what's happened here.
Yes, you're right. You're totally right about that one.
There it is. Since 2012, Nike has served as the league's official uniform provider and is now so anticipating a name being changed that they're not going to make any new gear for Washington. I mean, that is putting a cart before the horse. And if Nike is feeling that strongly about it, I think that's maybe all we need to know, that this is about to happen.
Nike, talk about Fred Smith and FedEx. I feel his name, FedEx Field. You want to talk about, like you said, you brought up Pepsi. That's your Gatorade contract. That's like it, every form and fashion of being attacked by business partners, I think he's taking it on. And now that's why I think he's sitting down and realizing, you know what? No matter how much I love the name, it's bad for business. And this, if I can give him any props, he's a great businessman.
What is the name? Because I've seen two names floated out. One, Warriors. Two, Red Tails. Does he have one that he would rather change it to? Or is he going to let people who, you know, sort of are in his inner circle sort of steer him towards something?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. You know, you hear a lot when you're sitting around the city. You hear a lot of people talking. And my big question I ask first is, we we hear all the talk about the name. Nobody saying anything about the logo. How do people feel about the logo? Because if he's going to hold on to the logo, that tells you it can only be a certain group of name anyway. He's going to keep it, from what I'm hearing. He's leaning towards keeping it towards a Native American theme and wants to show them respect through a name and wants to reflect them through a new name. Now, that's why I would say I love the Red Tails, because I know what it's about. I know the definition of it. But I also know you can't keep the logo if you go Red Tails.
It would be tough.
Now, if you go Warriors, you keep the logo.
Isn't there a version, though, of the logo where they just have the capital R in the white circle? Like, you could use that, right?
Yes, you could use that. And then that would be what they call it, not a truly full rebranding. But then, you know, I think that works if you take the Red Tails. If you got the Warriors, you're going to try to keep this logo. You know, so it's I think it's about where you feel, where you at. And me, I brought up one that would allow you to keep the logo and actually kind of add some stuff to it. I like the Red Wolves. You know, the one thing about the Wolves, nobody has it in the NFL. It's something that I don't think it'll be hard for you to actually get the paperwork done on it, and you can still keep the logo.
Fred, I got to be honest. I thought that the obvious pivot was right there. It's a word that is already ingrained in team lore. What about the Washington Hogs?
They're talking about the Hogs. I understand it's part of it. I've even heard the Washington Pigskins, which actually made a lot of sense to me because, you know, we play the ball with the pigskin and it's still connected to the Hogs. I understand the Hogs. I just don't know if they want to lean towards the Hogs. I think it'll always just be that secondary nickname that I think I'll never, never, never get into first class.
Fred Smoot, our guest here on 95.7 The Game, to talk about possibly changing the name. Do you think that Ron Rivera knew what he was stepping into when he took this gig?
No, but I think he's enjoying it. I love the way Coach is embracing everything. You know, the one thing about Coach, he's very straightforward. He knows how to handle business, and he's all business and all football all the time. You know, it's a little bit of everything around here. And that's why I told the fan base, well, I talk to him all the time and tell him this is a very exciting time. You know, we get to be a part of a name change. We might get some effect on what that name is, a new rebranding. And that's what this city might need when it comes to football. We might need that to be rejuvenated, you know. They said if the name changed, we go back and build a new stadium at RFK. So now you're talking about new stadium, new head coach, new quarterback, Chase Young, new image, new look, new era, new everything. I think it's a chance for a rebirth.
It might be. Fred, thank you very much, man. It was great to talk to you. I got to wrap up with this. Today, a quarterback signed a $500 million extension. I think you got out of the game a little too early, if you don't mind me saying.
First of all, I played the wrong position. I told my boys, now, y'all playing quarterback. $500 million. You know what? Baseball, we used to hearing that. We used to hear 300, 200. Maybe 400, but football, I think this is the highest paid contract of all time. And then when you go 10 years, and from what I'm hearing, it has escalators in it that make sure that no matter what year it is, he's in the top three highest paid quarterbacks. So it could actually grow, but I think it's a plus for Kansas City. I know it's a plus for him. His kids thinking him right now, and they not even here right now. So this is a little thing. Well, all I got to say is this. Hey, congratulations, young man. He's worth every penny, and I think it's going to be a long marriage with him, Andy Reid, and KC.
Fred, you talk like you backpedaled. Fast as hell, man. This was awesome. Thank you very much for joining us today. To you and your family, stay safe and sound.
Hey, y'all two fellas, don't take so long to let us get on the phone and conversate again, fellas.
There it is. Fred Smoot wants back anytime, man. That was awesome. I just fell in love with Fred Smoot as a guest. That was great. We need more cornerback conversations with that guy.
Yeah, I think he's wrong, though, about keeping the logo. I don't think that will satisfy anybody. I think they're going to have to, whether they go back to the R on the side of the helmet, which was the helmet they had before they went to the Indian head. But I don't think changing the name and leaving the helmet alone is going to, that's not going to work.
They also got that arrow.
And more troubling, if the three guys who own basically about 40% of this team want out, Dan's either going to have to buy them out with money I'm not sure he's got, or he's going to have to find partners, all of whom are going to want to have more say in how that team is operated than these three guys do. So no matter what happens, Dan Snyder's in a vice.
I really like the Red Tail name. I don't know about you guys, but the logo, the colors, like, I really like the Red Tail name. I think that one's really cool.
I think Red Tail works. It's easy. It would be easy to sell. I think Red Hawks is something that could also work. I Hogs, like, to me, if that's not, you know, Hogs, it's too abrupt. How about the Hog Mollies? Like, you're paying a tribute to the greatest unit that your franchise has ever put. I mean, you know how it's like we used to call Penn State Linebacker University? Mm-hmm. I used to think of the Redskins as offensive line franchise. Like, that's the offensive line of Joe all Gibbs, offensive baby. Lines. And like, to me, going Hogs would be a little bit of a tribute to all that. So right now, if the Washington new name were changed, let me give you the betonline.com odds.
Yeah, give it to me.
Red Tails going off at 3-1, followed by Generals at 4-1. Presidents goes 5-1. Lincolns, 6-1 layoff. There's no way they're going to be the Washington Lincolns.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
No.
Veterans, 8-1. No. Capitals, 9-1, already taken by another team in town, no way. Americans, Memorials and Monuments are all going off at 10-1. Kings go off at 12-1, along with the Roosevelts. Then you got Redhawks at 15-1, Jeffersons at 20-1, Renegades, 22-1. That sounds like an XFL team. It won't be that. Arlington's, that's just stupid. Take it off the board. Hogs is going off at 50-1. And Trump, the Washington Trumps, is going off at 500-1.
Anybody who puts money on that should be jailed. The Washington Generals was the team that always lost to the Harlem Globetrotters. So right. You could scratch that off. Anything after that, we have to keep in mind that all this stuff would have to happen within about a 2-month period. Which leads me to believe if they're going to change the name at all before this season is scheduled to go off, and I doubt that they will, I think they're probably going to have to go Red Tails or Red Hawks, change the logo to the R, and then figure out how to remake everything in time for 2021. Because
they can
the turnaround, no, they can't, because it takes, I know how uniforms get made because I've talked to people at Nike about it. And they have to redesign things. The league has a 1-year rule before you even change anything about the uniform.
That's for online purchasing.
No, it's for everything. It's for licensing in total.
I think we would bend the rules for this, right?
What I'm
saying.
I mean, the NFL wants to die on that hill. What I'm saying is
I don't think they can do this in the time allotted. The turnaround, there's a lot involved in the turnaround.
I've ordered jerseys. You can get jerseys in 6 weeks. If you're going to like epicsports.com, you're telling me Nike, with one of their premier clients, can't get them to dial up 100 jerseys for 8 weeks or whatever it is, 16
you have
weeks?
To license. You have to license them so that other people can't copy them. That does not come overnight. It's not about manufacturing a jersey. It's about making sure that you have the legal rights and the only legal rights to that jersey, and that takes a lot more time.
I don't think the Washington Redskins even have the legal rights to their own copyright right now. Wasn't that pulled from them?
Yeah, they switched to that old school logo.
Okay. They tried to pull that from them.
And they won. They won that in court. So they still have it.
The financial incentive in the world we're living in now outweighs the cost of being stubborn. And I think that that's what Daniel Snyder is looking at. That's what NASCAR looked at. All of a sudden, NASCAR has every single sponsor that matters buying hoods and quarter panels on their car, issuing Black Lives Matter statements, and now the Confederate flag isn't a place to hang your hat anymore. I mean, things change quick when you put on economic pressure. And that's going to bring us, if you don't mind me spending just 5 minutes on this. I mean, I could do 4 hours on this, but we didn't and we won't. Bob Fesco coming up at the bottom of the hour. King of Kansas City mornings. He is going to join us to talk about the Patrick Mahomes deal, which apparently was broken by a liquor store clerk. Had it before Schefter, had it before anyone. We'll ask Fesco about the details of that. But the Kansas City Star is reporting that a liquor store clerk broke the Mahomes news before anyone. So Donald Trump brought his race war once around the NASCAR track for a spin, found out it didn't work well, and immediately pivoted to the NFL, where he's trying to shame Washington into never changing its name. And then he gets on the whole Cleveland Indians thing, and we'll talk about them in just a second. Let me just tell you that this is the last whimpering, pathetic moment of a dying con man realizing that he ain't got it no more. That's what I really hope is going on here. And if this gets politically too charged for you, I invite you to put both your head, your legs between your head between your legs and kiss both cheeks. Okay? What's amazing about this, and what proves how just straight up racist catcalling this is, as far as old news goes, Bubba Wallace, maybe a noose at a NASCAR track, is as old as dirt. To bring this up now is insane. 2-3 weeks ago, like, if there were any more racial outrage to cash in on, believe me, Clay Travis would still be doing it. Even he is done with this topic. But no, here comes the orange number 45 car whipping around the corner trying to get into the race baiting conversation. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He says that basically what Donald Trump wants is for the only black man in NASCAR to beg for forgiveness of the other white drivers. He wants a black man asking for forgiveness of other white drivers. And he tried to say that the whole thing was a hoax. Look, there's a big difference between debunking a misunderstanding and a hoax. The cherry on top of his little tweet storm of wrong information, lies, and racism, like most of Donald Trump's information, lands on a total lie, where he says ratings are down. So by any measurement, but mostly using television ratings, it can be proven that ratings are up. There is no reprehensible moment that this man won't hump the leg of. Not one. There is no dignity. There is no honor. There is a man who is... Donald Trump is smart enough to do the math, and he knows that his only path to re-election is to stoke the fires of racism to the point where they're ablaze and no one can see straight anymore. He's trying to do it. He's looking for the new avenue in. Oh, it wasn't NASCAR. Let me move to the NFL. Let me move to baseball. Eventually, I'll be able to stoke a vein of Southern racism that'll have me. Oh, Confederate statues. That works. I'm not going to concentrate on the greatest unemployed group of human beings this country's ever seen or a pandemic. I'm here to talk about statues. If anyone else has fallen for this con, shame on you.
But that's that's why it's such a bad con. It's that almost nobody has been protesting about the statues coming down. And there was almost no objection to Mississippi changing its flag, or before that, South Carolina changing its flag. I think what he's done, because he's so dim and because the people around him work very hard to tell him only what he wants to hear, is that he sought out a remarkably small part of the electorate, a small but loud part of the electorate, and deciding that's my ticket to ride. It's one more misjudgment in a series of them which has brought the country to this point in its greatest economic crisis in 70 years, or actually, no, not even 70, 85. The biggest health crisis it's ever had, and the greatest social upheaval in 50. He's backed the wrong horse every time. And the idea that the Cleveland Indians are suddenly a campaign pillar, it shows you that when he's left alone, he's insane. And when he has people whispering in his ear, he's hateful. And either way, he ought to be unelectable.
Damon, you're so fake. Donald Trump wasn't racist until he became president, made by liberals like you. You go tell that to the Central Park Five and kiss my ass when you're done reading about that. Also, Damon, you're the only one race bidding. All he asks is that NASCAR should apologize for making a huge mistake and trying to put a stain on NASCAR. All right, the stain on NASCAR is literally its most unifying moment that it's ever happened. And Bubba Wallace wasn't even the one who said, there's a noose in my garage. Not, he didn't even do it. Bubba Wallace had nothing to do with it other than hear about it after the fact. Again, you can have your own opinion, not your own facts. And that seems to be a big problem with the people who continue to support that ass clown.
And once again, you've needlessly slandered ass clowns.
I'm so sorry. Big fan of ass clowns normally. I used to claim to be one, I think. So. We got an awful lot still coming up today. I don't want you to go anywhere because what we have here is the greatest contract one man has ever signed to be a quarterback of a football team. Patrick Mahomes today inked a 10-year contract extension that'll keep him with the Chiefs through the 2031 NFL season. The amount of money is basically, well, it's what Joe Lacob spent on buying the Golden State Warriors 10 years ago. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have agreed to terms on a 10-year extension worth $503 million, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. 477 in guaranteed mechanisms gives the ability for Mahomes to have outs if the guaranteed mechanisms aren't exercised. Again, that is his option out. Of course, there are going to be some options for the Chiefs to walk away from it, but don't know the particulars on all that. Already having been corrected by our crack researcher, Ray Ratto, who says Neymar has more money guaranteed to him by Paris Saint-Germain. Ian Rappaport went on to say that, let's just say continental United States. This is the first $500 million deal for any player in sports history in the continental United States and the largest contract in sports history in the United States. And for the very first time ever, an NFL player, not a baseball player or someone from the NBA, carries the title of largest contract in all of sports. That's kind of a through the looking glass moment too, is it not?
It is because the number and it's the trap that the NFL and its PR wings always set for us is look at all the money he could make. And it's not all the money he could make, it's how much is he going to make? And then how much is the team going to try to wriggle out of later? And it's the one problem with non-guaranteed contracts that you have to wait till you see all the fine print to find out what's coming, what's up in the air, and what is he unlikely to get. So I think it's fair to say that he's making more money than any other football player could have imagined ever making. But The 500 millions are sort of maybe not. Because I just don't know that he could stay healthy for 10 years or that the Chiefs will want him for 10 years.
No one knows more about Kansas City than the man who is the man in the mornings in Kansas City. Bob Fesco in the morning is where most of that town begins each and every day. because he understands Kansas City sports like no other. He joins us next, a friend of the program here on 95.7 The Game. Right around the corner, Bob Fesco is going to join us. We're looking forward to that conversation. And we need to tell you just one more time this afternoon that we are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. And we want you to submit your top 10 greatest athletes list right now to 95.7 The Game. I've revealed mine. Bonte has revealed his. Unfortunately, so did Joe Fortenbaugh this morning, and we're all regretting it ever since, probably especially Joe. We'll have much more around the corner. Our final half hour kicks off with Bob Fesco and the biggest contract the NFL's ever seen. That's next. Damon Ratto and Kolsky with Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, in this afternoon on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Until Patrick Mahomes signed this extension, Bob Fesco was the highest paid sports presence in Kansas City. He is the host of Bob Fesco, Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. It's where Kansas City wakes up every morning. He's a friend of the show. I'm happy to welcome him in here. Last time we talked to Bob, we lost a Super Bowl bet to him. I paid the debt. I made good on that. Bob, you can keep the particulars to yourself, what we settled on. But Thank you for joining us here today. Damon Ratto and Joe Shasky filling in for Matt this afternoon. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Actually, I'm sitting here at my desk looking at the gift that you gave me, and it's intense, dark, 60% evening dream dark chocolate that I still haven't opened yet because I'm kind of like debating back and forth when I need to celebrate with that chocolate. And it may be tonight, you know, it may be tonight with this Patrick Mahomes extension. I really do appreciate that Ghirardelli chocolate you sent me.
$1 billion. $500 million. Earlier today, I know it's a different sport, but I remember the cover of Sports Illustrated where it said, rolling a seven, and Ryan Sandberg was making $7 million a year, and the world lost its mind. Did you ever think that you would see a $500 million contract, anyone, any sport in your lifetime? This is an amazing day.
Well, I thought eventually we'd get there just because of the way sports escalate so much. What I never thought is that a Kansas City athlete would be the guy that is cashing in on a $500 million contract
right.
from one of the teams. You know, for so many years it was, oh, Kansas City doesn't want to pay. We're talking mostly about baseball because, you know, that's where everybody really judges salaries and whatnot. And the NFL never really caught up to baseball in the salary game. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Heck, we were talking about it, you know, a year ago with Kyler Murray. Is he going to make the right decision and go to the A's, or is he going to go to the NFL and you know, maybe risk making millions and millions of dollars? Well, he's on par to make, you know, some really good money in the NFL now based on the first season he had. So it looks like he made the right decision. But I never thought we'd see a $500 million athlete, the highest paid athlete in the history of American sports in Kansas City. I mean, that's the wow factor for me in all of this. But it's not really a surprise that the deal got done because I've been hearing from people all along, oh, we're going to get this deal done before camp. And it seemed like it was a very easily negotiated deal amongst both sides. No animosity, you know?
I was about to ask you. I mean, it seemed to happen pretty quickly. I mean, everybody sort of figured, well, of course they have to sign him. But from what I've been able to parse out is that it was negotiated remarkably quickly and without a lot of back and forth. Is that your understanding of how it went down, or was there more discussion than we know?
No, I think it was, like I said, a very easy negotiation for both sides. I just saw somewhere that the contract is 117 pages long. I was like, wow, that's a very informative, fulfilling contract. They have 117 pages with it of everything that they're going to pay out on and what he's required to do and all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, no, I don't think there was any kind of fighting over this. This was a place where Patrick Mahomes wanted to be from day one, and obviously the organization, from what he's done for them in two seasons, is a player they want to keep here in Kansas City for all time. I mean, the relationship that Patrick and Andy Reid have, I've said it a number of times, that it's the best sports marriage I've ever seen. I mean, obviously the Jordan, you know, one can be argued a little bit. You can argue Tom and Bill Belichick, which I don't necessarily know that was a good marriage. It was just a marriage of convenience that seemingly worked for all these years. But this Patrick Mahomes-Andy Reid thing in 2 years is really remarkable to watch. And I say that because the day that Andy Reid drafted Patrick Mahomes, the first phone call he made was to Cliff Kingsbury, his coach at Texas Tech, and said, I want all of your language that you guys speak down at Texas Tech so that I can adjust to Patrick and he does not have to waste time trying to adjust to me. And that was the first coaching move that Andy Reid made. He was going to learn what Patrick was familiar with to give him the best opportunity to have success. And since then, the day that the Arizona Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, the coach of the Cardinals, called Oklahoma, got all the information that they used at Oklahoma to use with Kyler in the NFL, and that's why they had a pretty successful first season together. And so the marriage here is just remarkable, and the way that Andy Reid coaches him and puts him in position to be successful, and then the way Patrick is able to take what Andy does and do it 10 times better than anybody could have imagined is just so much fun to watch.
So what's the likelihood that Andy Reid serves out Patrick Mahomes' contract?
Yeah, I would say zero, but, who am I to judge that? But I'm hearing maybe 3 or 4 more years for Andy Reid as the head coach. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, we've been talking about that for a while now, that, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's got that Super Bowl. If they go back-to-back and maybe back-to-back-to-back, you can see Andy walking away and doing something like that. But I think Andy really enjoys his family. And one of the coolest things that I've ever witnessed at a sporting event, and I've seen the Royals win a World Series and the Chiefs win a Super Bowl in the last 5 years, was at a game, I want to say it was the Tennessee game, where they came back and won that game, and Andy's walking up the tunnel, and here comes his little 2 or 3 year old granddaughter running down towards him, yelling, "Grandpa, Grandpa," and him scooping her up and giving him a hug. And you could see right there, like, how important the grandkids and family, you know, really is to Andy Reid. And so I don't know how much longer he's going to be coaching here in Kansas City, but man, if he goes out after the next 3 years and they have a couple of Super Bowl rings, then he did what he needed to do here in KC, and he's passing it off to somebody, you know, who's going to have a lot of success with Patrick Mahomes.
When I think of Kansas City sports legends, just in general, Derek Thomas, George Brett, Satchel Paige, I'm sure there's somebody I'm omitting, but where does Patrick Mahomes stack up on this list?
I mean, he's quickly moving to the top. I mean, it was always like Buck O'Neill and Tom Watson were always on that list, as well as great Kansas City athletes, but I mean, this guy has done stuff in the first 2 years that people in the history of the National Football League have never done. And we've discussed it a lot on the show. And, you know, and during these times, you come up with some, you know, wild topics and whatnot. But if you're starting a franchise and you can draft any player in the 100-year history of the National Football League to start your franchise with, how are you passing on Patrick Mahomes with that number one overall pick from the history of the NFL? I mean, the guy is out to set all kinds of records and do things we've never, ever seen in this league.
Right. Just a scant moment or two in his career, he is regarded with the greatest quarterbacks that have ever played. He is off to the greatest start any quarterback has ever enjoyed with what? He's the first human being ever to win a Super Bowl and an MVP at the position of quarterback before turning 24 years old. We are talking with the king of Kansas City Sports Talk Radio, Bob Fesco. It's good to have him here on the show. I was told, or I was told, like they only tweeted me. I just read on Twitter that the Kansas City Star is saying that a local liquor store clerk had the breaking news before Schefter even had it. What did Mahomes and his girlfriend stop for a six-pack and spill the beans? Do you have any follow-up on that?
I actually do, and we're efforting to get her on the show in the morning.
Hell yeah!
But the story goes like this, and she's very, I guess she tweeted out, she's very, you know, shy with the, you know, the attention and doesn't really want it, but she's working at the liquor store today, and in comes somebody who works for the Chiefs and buys 6 bottles of Dom and says, you know, we're celebrating tonight. We've got a signing to announce, and it's not Chris Jones who bought the 6 bottles of Dom and walked out the door. And so she tweeted it out. Wasn't Chris Jones. I guess we'll have to wait and see who it is. And so clearly it was the quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and getting that deal done. But I mean, I think, and I've got a friend of mine who works in local government, not here, but in another state. And he was telling me a couple of days ago, he's like, look, here's the deal. You learn most about what goes on in your area from bartenders and liquor store clerks. And I'm like, yeah, you really do. I mean, how often does a bartender have a tip that nobody else has because somebody came in there for dinner, or the liquor store clerk selling 6 bottles of Dom to a Chiefs front office guy who's going to celebrate, you know, the signing of Patrick Mahomes?
I'll trust a bartender or a taxi cab driver before I trust most beat writers. There's no doubt about that. Bob, does Chris Jones get closer to the number he wants, or is he further away from it now because Mahomes is really going to be taking up so much of a lion's share of it? I mean, his current deal exists as is for two more years. So is Chris Jones looking at a two-year deal? No way a third year is included now? How does this affect signing guys and the rest of the roster?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, Chris Jones will get done. There will be a deal done with Chris Jones. I mean, look, he wants to be here. They want him to be here. You guys know how big he was in the last 5 minutes of that Super Bowl with two batted passes and what he can bring to the table. And, you know, the second best defensive lineman probably out there right now. And I think he'll ultimately be here. They've had the goal all along. And look, everything that I've been told has kind of come true. They wanted to have both of these guys done before the start of camp. Well, Mahomes is now done, and so you got about a week or so before you have to, you know, get that Chris Jones franchise tender signed and get a deal done with him. And if they can come up with a 117-page document to get Patrick Mahomes signed, I'm sure they can get something done with Chris Jones. So I got confidence they will get it done. And as far as signing other guys, Tyreek Hill's locked up. You know, Travis Kelce's got a year or two left, and then he's over 30. But I'm one of these guys, man. I trade every player on this roster right now except for Patrick Mahomes. I think he can make guys that much better. And we saw how good Kelce was with Alex Smith. But, man, since Patrick Mahomes came, his game went to a new level. And if Tom Brady can make, like, former high school lacrosse players good wide receivers in the NFL, I got confidence that Patrick Mahomes can do that as well.
I mean, look for some hockey players. Get Mahomes some hockey weapons. I'm curious, though. You watch this guy every snap. You're watching him every single play. And there's no perfect player in any sport. What is the area that Patrick Mahomes does need to work on for 2020?
I don't know the answer to that question, because I think when you start to ask that question, which the Chiefs do all the time, and like last year they came up with like footwork or something. I mean, like it's something like so benign that they always tell you in the off season, or I think, you know, 2 years ago was the footwork and last year was look to dump it off. You don't have to go for the deep ball every time. So every once in a while he would dump it off instead of trying to hit the deep ball every time. Like the stuff they tell him to work on is like, we really love what you're doing here with the company. Sharpen your pencils better. Like they have to find something to critique. So they find something, and those little things clearly make him a better quarterback, because I think as good as he was his rookie year, I mean, down the stretch last year, especially in the postseason and obviously the Super Bowl, he was just an unbelievable technician of the game for the last three or four games of that season.
One of the things we've always known about guys who sign huge contracts, and this is across the board, sea to shining sea, is that when they start to underperform by the staggering expectations that such a contract creates, is that people turn on him. When is that likely to happen for him? Because I get the sense that as much sticker shock as his contract is going to present to your average Kansas Cityan, that he's sort of on a level of scholarship that maybe nobody else in that town has been since George Brett retired.
Well, there's no doubt. Nobody has been on scholarship since George Brett has been here in Kansas City, and that's a, you know, a World Series win mixed in there, obviously, and some pretty good Royals teams in the middle part of this decade. But nobody has been under scholarship or on scholarship, if you will, like Patrick Mahomes is. And honestly, I don't know that fans will ever, you know, turn on Patrick Mahomes, because he has brought something to this town that just about all of us have never seen, and that's a Super Bowl championship and an MVP. I mean, it's been 50 years since this team won anything and got close to winning anything. And the minute Patrick Mahomes gets there, we're an overtime away from going to the Super Bowl his first year as a starter, and then go to the Super Bowl the following year and win that Super Bowl and do something that this town has really never seen for the majority of us. That's the first Super Bowl championship we witnessed as Chiefs fans.
For all things Kansas City, you go find Fesco. He will let you know what's up. Bob Fesco, our guest here. And let's wrap up with this. As we see the San Francisco Giants have two players, more players, test positive today, as the Oakland A's continue to wait for testing results from Major League Baseball before they can even have a full team workout, which they'd like to have tonight. Bob, how are the Kansas City Royals starting this?
They're great. I mean, so far we've seen Salvi. Obviously, he's in quarantine. Salvador Perez, their all-star catcher, is in quarantine. Mike Matheny had the COVID earlier in the quarantine period, so he's fine now. But everything you see from the Royals organization, every video that they're sharing and picture that's out there, everybody's wearing a mask. And I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. If you mask up, you can help save a lot of people's lives. But, you know, and also if you mask up, you could help get sports back, too. I don't understand why there's such a fight in this country about wearing a mask. It's not really that big a deal, but the Royals are seemingly doing everything kind of according to plan, and they're masking up. And Salvi had the COVID before he really got here to Kansas City, and he spent the off season and the spring down in Miami, which is a hotbed for it right now. So that's why I think he ultimately has it. But I think the Royals are handling the situation perfectly here in KC.
Bob, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure. Really enjoy talking to you. Have an awful lot of fun with this. Your week of broadcasting just got a whole lot easier, did it not?
Yeah, it really did. A $500 million contract to the greatest player on earth will do that to you, you know?
Enjoy it while you can, my friend. Bob Fesco here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much, Bob. Good guy. Good guy. Great broadcaster. Knows that town like the back of his hand. I mean it. Patrick Mahomes is probably as important to Kansas City's overall economy and self-worth as barbecue sauce, as burnt ends have become. I mean, he is, if at one point in time there was no debate LeBron was Cleveland's greatest export, is there any doubt that Patrick Mahomes in Chiefs football at this particular time is Kansas City's greatest export?
It is.
Well, it's always been the Chiefs, but in terms of individuals.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.